Your dad was John McCain.
Yes. My dad was a huge music fan. I'm going to tell you right now, my dad loved Willie Nelson. And people are like, you can't say he liked Willie Nelson because he dodged his taxes, blah, blah, blah. Well, he loved Willie Nelson. He did.
Everybody thinks they can do it. How can I become a professional wrestler? You really can't.
I pulled out the gun and I shot two times.
We have a complicated family. We were all raised to argue with each other with intensity, with passion, but also to love each other.
This is WTMJ Conversations.
Welcome to WTMJ Conversations. I'm your host, Libby Collins. Many Americans have spent vacations visiting presidential sites like Washington's home at Mount Vernon or Andrew Jackson's Hermitage. Not many have made it a personal quest to pay homage to every president at their gravesite. Retired Kenosha detective Russell Beckman is now a special ed teacher in Green Bay, but in his spare time, he's spent the past 50 years finding where every president has been laid to rest. He only has one more gravesite to visit, and we'll tell you about that a little bit later on. But first, let's meet Russell Beckman. Russell, how long did you spend in law enforcement?
I was in law enforcement for just a bit over 30 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it's a full career, and I retired at age 50, and age 50 is way too young to do nothing and just to hang out. So I always wanted to be a teacher, always had an interest in education, so I decided to explore a second career in education.
And I imagine you've always loved history.
Oh, yes, definitely. I'm a history nerd. I'm a history tourist. I mean, the whole thing, specifically American history. Obviously, I study other history, but I have a huge interest in American history.
Well, how I found you, Russell, is you have written about your travels to all of these gravesites for the White House Historical Association's quarterly magazine. And they thought enough of what you've done and your experiences that they've published that.
Yeah, it was a big honor. Quite honestly, for a regular guy like me to be published by this award-winning journal is a big deal. The contributors to this journal are notable, renowned historians, families of the first families, staff, high-level staff at the White House, and then there's me, a guy from Wisconsin.
Well, let's talk about how this quest began. Because like we said, 50 years it's taken you to visit all of these presidential grave sites. How did it all begin?
Well, I trace the source of my interest in doing this to middle school. When you start middle school, you feed from elementary schools into a larger school, and I met a new friend, and he took me to his house, introduced me to his dad, and his dad shook my hand and said, "Welcome. It's nice to meet you. And by the way, you are shaking the hand that shook the hand that shook the hand of Abraham Lincoln." And took me a moment to sort that out, but I realized that he had a huge connection to President Lincoln. And here it was, the 1970s. I was in middle school, and I thought, gee, that's pretty cool. And I always been the collector of experiences, so I decided I wanted to do this. It picked up steam when I was in my 20s. I started to chaperone for field trips to Washington, D.C. At that time, the Wisconsin Law Enforcement Officers Association would sponsor a chaperone field trip to middle school kids. And I was went on these tours, and the first grave I visited was President Kennedy's at Arlington National Cemetery. And that kind of lit the fuse. And it took a while to do it, but I finally accomplished it.
What was your emotion when you visited President Kennedy's grave the first time?
I obviously wasn't old enough to remember his assassination, and I was just a child when he was a president, a young child, a toddler. Now, I stood there and I thought, wow, this is really something that you are standing at this eternal flame halfway up the hill to the Lee Mansion. And by the way, if you stand in the backside of the Lincoln Memorial and it's a clear night, you can see the eternal flame burning at Kennedy's grave from the backside of the Lincoln Memorial. I mean, it's just the coolest thing, and I thought this man was really important enough because he was a president to be buried in such a majestic place. And it kind of just sparked an interest, and I decided I'm going to visit the grave of every president. And I started working at it bit by bit, and finally that I did. I finally finished it up.
How did you plan this out? Obviously, the first time you visited President Kennedy's grave, it was a planned trip, and you knew that was on the itinerary. But when you looked at your own personal life, and you were still working as a police detective at that time, how did you start to plan this out?
I'm going to visit these graves, and in what order, and how did you decide who's to visit and when you had time to do it?
It went in ebbs and flows and fits and starts. I mean, it took a back seat to my life. I worked, I went to school, I got married, I had children. I had good things that happened in my life, bad things that happened in my life, just a typical everyday life, and you had to make it fit. And quite honestly, a lot of my family, not that they were hostile to it, but I did not want to cart them all over the country visiting presidents' graves. So every so often, I would pick one off. For example, my father-in-law, who's now deceased, a great man, he worked for a company that sold office furniture. And he sold office furniture to a Milwaukee-based company that was expanding all over the country. And he allowed me, gave me a part-time job of installing office furniture. So I would travel to the East Coast with a small team. And during these trips, I was able to pick off one here and there, you know, add a day to the trip. But something happened. In 2002, I lost all the photographs that I had taken, these graves. I had visited.
How did you lose them?
Well, there was a flood. Milwaukeeans have experienced flooding. And so I lost these photographs. I visited 13 presidents' graves up until 2002. And that was before digital cameras, before I had a digital camera. I bought a digital camera. I decided, you know something? I'm going to revisit all of them, including the 13 that I visited prior to 2002, because I wanted a picture, a selfie. And think about this, selfies had to be invented. Who thought of a selfie before there were digital cameras? So I ended up revisiting the 13 that I had visited prior to 2002 and all the rest of them up until 3 years ago, where I visited the final two graves of President Truman and President Eisenhower in the middle part of our country.
Coming up at WTMJ Conversations.
Visiting the graves was a culmination of a study of that president's life.
Educator Russell Beckman tells us why he likes to visit presidential gravesites alone.
Now, more of WTMJ Conversations.
Welcome back. I'm Libby Collins. We're talking with educator Russell Beckman. You decided to go back and visit these. How easy is it to find the various graves? Because it's not like they're all in a national cemetery someplace where you can say, oh, there's President Lincoln, there's President Wilson, there's President Eisenhower. They're literally all over the country.
Yeah, they are. Before the development of the internet, you would just do it the old-fashioned way. Go to the library. There would be a book. There would be an encyclopedia. But the internet made planning obviously easier. Now, many of these graves are along well-traveled routes. For example, in Ohio, if you travel the Ohio Turnpike, you are very close to three presidential graves. It's just a matter of getting off and spending a little time, and you can visit them.
Which three are there?
Those are President Hayes, President McKinley, and President Garfield. And those are just kind of a short distance off the Ohio Turnpike. If you're driving down to Florida, for example, there's two presidential graves in Nashville, James Polk and Andrew Jackson. But like I said, I didn't want to subject my family to all this. Not that they're hostile, but it's like you're going on a mission. Sometimes you're driving from here to there. You want to minimize the stops. But then when I got older, and I actually preferred to go alone on these trips.
Why?
Because visiting the graves was a culmination of a study of that president's life. Because it wasn't just visiting the grave, checking it out, taking a picture and leaving. It was actual. I put work into studying the challenges that president faced, the manner in which he governed, the challenges that he faced, and learning about his life. And this was kind of like the final culmination of that study. If you think about it, cemeteries have been existed in human existence, well, as far back as records are. And they're places of reflection, places where you can reflect on the people who are buried there and the legacy that you are going to leave to the world. As you get older, you become concerned about your own legacy. In fact, the musical Hamilton says, legacy is a seed that you plant in a garden that you will never get to see. I have bought into this idea of reflection at cemeteries, hook, line, and sinker. So it became, I wanted to go alone to most of these places. I wanted to sit there, spend some time with this at this gravesite, and almost have an intellectual connection with the person whose grave I'm at, the president who I'm with.
Why did you select grave sites versus birth sites?
I don't really know. Many of the presidential graves are at their birth sites. For example, Eisenhower and Nixon, their presidential libraries are both on the land that was their childhood home. And often, presidents are buried near their birth sites. It's not just the president grave that you're seeing, but it's the ancillary facilities, the libraries, the historical sites. For example, Herbert Hoover, which is in West Branch, Iowa, his grave is on the site of his family farm. In fact, his grave overlooks the home in which he was buried in. It was just something I decided to focus on because I enjoy going to cemeteries because of this idea that you're reflecting and you can look at things. It helps you get perspective on your life and the life of others.
Before you travel to one of these grave sites, what sort of preparation do you do?
Well, there's books. Read books. You read, every president has a large number of books written about their life. And you study about basically their life and what they did and what challenges they faced. And it goes along with every other historical site. For example, in your travel to visit presidential gravesites, you're not just stopping at presidential gravesites. There's other places in history that you can visit. For example, you go to Gettysburg, the battlefield. You want to understand how that battle went down. And to me, it's really a cool thing to stand in an historic space or place. And even if you have to close your eyes and imagine what it was like when those events occurred. Something that I enjoy, something that I feel connected to, and it's part of, I guess, being a history tourist. I mean, I just get into it. It's just the coolest thing to collect these experiences.
What are some of your favorites? And I don't know if this would be based on because you admired this particular president and their accomplishments, or is it because of the setting, the location? How do you determine, okay, these would be my top three favorite presidential gravesites?
You know, there's so many presidential gravesites that are just incredibly majestic, and there's others that are much more austere. And when I say this, it might surprise a couple people, but it has nothing to do with the politics, has everything to do with emotion. Martin Van Buren is buried in a colonial area cemetery just outside of Kinderhook, New York. Kinderhook, New York is a small town that you can imagine if you were watching a Hallmark Christmas movie. It could be set there. And I have friends who live in that area, some dear friends, and I visit that cemetery regularly. And it's so historic, it never changes. I visited it in all four seasons. And it's like the coolest thing to go back to and just think about the people there. Now, I'm not judging it based on Martin Van Buren's contributions as president. I'm basing it on the fact that I have an emotional attachment to that space. Woodrow Wilson is right up there. I mean, he's entombed in the Washington National Cathedral, which if you've never gone there, it should be on your list of places to go because it can't be a cooler, more majestic place. I know I'm going to use majestic a lot, but you have these beautiful stained glass windows when the sun shines through it, just bathed in colorful light. And it's one of my favorite places in Washington, D.C. And when I go there, I just think, wow, this is so cool to be in this space. Does that mean that I admire Woodrow Wilson? No, it doesn't. It just means that I'm attached to it emotionally. So that's why it has nothing to do with aesthetics, everything to do with emotion.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
Outside the cemetery, you have trashy little gift shops where they buy cheap Lincoln souvenirs.
Educator Russell Beckman tells us which presidential gravesite is the most overrated.
You're listening to WTMJ Conversations.
I'm your host, Libby Collins. Let's return to our conversation with educator Russell Beckman. Are there any sites that you feel are overrated?
Not really. Maybe Abraham Lincoln's. Abraham Lincoln's is right outside the cemetery. You have little, I don't want to say seedy, but trashy little gift shops, you know, where they buy cheap Lincoln souvenirs. And it's the only place I've ever noticed that at any other presidential grave sites. It's almost, it's a cool thing. The article that was published has a great picture of me at standing at Lincoln's grave. And it's a beautiful place, but it's kind of...
It's almost like a mausoleum, isn't it?
It is a mausoleum.
Yeah.
In fact, it has hallways and entrances and closets. But outside the cemetery, there's a couple of gift shops. And that kind of almost reminds you a little tiny bit of Niagara Falls. You have the magnificence of the falls surrounded by a bunch of gift shops.
Little tacky.
Yeah, in some ways. I mean, I don't want to rip on it, but you ask the question, they're providing an answer. But that's how most of those are. I mean, most of them don't really have a commercial connection to the president who's buried there. But just outside of the cemetery in Springfield, they have that.
What about the least obvious, since you talked about something that's sort of overrated in terms of, you know, people want to go see Abraham Lincoln's gravesite, and yet there are these tacky little gift shops. But what would be one that would be very understated?
Well, there's actually several of them. Calvin Coolidge comes to mind in Plymouth Notch, Vermont. Plymouth Notch, Vermont is kind of off the beaten path. It's up there. You got to travel through a national forest to get there. There's moose crossing signs, which kind of makes me smile. I almost think of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan when I was driving to Calvin Coolidge's grave. And his grave is a single, very austere tombstone. It's very attractive, but it's just there. And you can go there and stand. It's on a second tier of a tiered cemetery, right off the road, and it's very understated, almost like the man, Silent Cal. That's just one, but there's also many others like that.
We talked about some of your favorite gravesites. What are some of your least favorites?
You know, there's actually, I thought about that you might ask that question, and I hate to rip on Herbert Hoover's grave, but I'm going to, because Herbert Hoover was 90 years old when he died. He was buried in the mid-1960s, maybe 1966. I'd have to look it up to be sure. So his gravesite was chosen long before he died, and it was going to be at his childhood farm and home. They put an I-80. Right next to his land. In fact, when you park your car and you walk to Herbert Hoover's grave, you're hearing the traffic from busy I-80, and you're looking at a gas station at an exit off of I-80 that where you're standing on that path walking to his trail, I mean, Aaron Rodgers in his prime could have thrown a football from where you're standing into the parking lot of that gas station. So aesthetically, it's not very pleasing. Now, when you get to his actual grave, there's a wall of foliage, which does cut down the sound and make it so you can't see the highway or the BP gas station. But I bet that if Herbert Hoover could do it all over again, he would pick a different site. I don't know that, but that's one of those things. And it's based on aesthetics, not on who he was or the type of president he was. But that's, think about Chester Arthur, who is buried in a cemetery just north of Albany, New York, Menards, New York. And it's a cool cemetery. It's colonial era to more modern times. And his grave, or his where he rests, is right at the intersection of where cars drive in a cemetery. And it's right there. You park your car, and if you were a drunk or a litterer, you could throw an empty beer can or empty soda can from your car and hit his grave. So there's a lack of aesthetics there. And you're thinking, this is a president of the United States, and there's just nothing that's attractive about that.
Still ahead on WTMJ Conversations.
There is a Coliseum. He's buried in the center of him and his wife, and he wanted to be able to look at the sky.
Educator Russell Beckman tells us which president has the most elaborate gravesite.
Now, more of WTMJ Conversations.
I'm Libby Collins. Our guest today is educator Russell Beckman, who's visited every presidential gravesite except for one. Who cares for these sites? I mean, and I'm talking about in terms of physical, you know, a lot of people will go to the graves of their loved ones and maybe polish the headstone or plant flowers at various times of the year. Who cares for these presidential gravesites?
Well, most presidents' gravesites are administered by a nonprofit organization or some other entity that's either the government, the National Park Service. For example, President Washington has the Mount Vernon Association. They actually charge admission to get into that site.
You have to pay to go to see Washington's grave?
Yeah, you do, because you're going into the Mount Vernon site, which is his land, which was his home, and his grave is just part of that experience. So, and then I'm sure there's just people who are volunteers. I mean, if Milwaukee had a president who was buried here, there would be people who were kind enough to basically maintain, make sure the flag, that most of them have a flag, is maintained, and pick up any litter or anything else. So it's just good-minded people. And some of these graves, like, for example, Franklin Pierce in Concord, New Hampshire. This is just a regular run-of-the-mill grave. In fact, if you stand at his grave, you can see there's an open area of tombstones, and you can see buildings, residential buildings. And like I say, if you were a good football player, you could throw a football from that gravesite and hit those buildings. So many of them are just ordinary. And I don't mean that to be negative, but they're just some presidents really overdo.
That's what I was going to say, is what's the most elaborate presidential gravesite?
Warren Harding, for example.
Warren Harding?
Warren Harding in...
I mean, when you think of presidents, Warren Harding is not the first name that comes to mind.
That's why I brought it up, because he's in Marion, Ohio, and there is a Colosseum designed after the Roman Colosseum. It's huge. It's in what is now surrounded by a park, and you can access this. The insides, it doesn't have a roof on it. He's buried in the center of him and his wife, and he wanted to be able to look at the sky. So, but I'm thinking Warren Harding was obscure, but yet he has this huge cathedral that he built to himself, and it's there. And I thought to myself, that is, maybe might be a little overdone. And there's a few others that we can get into, but it's like every grave is different. Every grave makes a statement about the man. And I say, man, maybe we could talk about that at some point. And it reflects their personality. President Garfield in Cleveland, Ohio. He was assassinated, and most people don't even know there are four presidents who were assassinated in our country. Lincoln, Kennedy, those are the two that everyone knows, and McKinley and Garfield. And both McKinley and Garfield are buried in the area of Cleveland, Ohio. McKinley's buried in Canton, Ohio, just down the road from the NFL Hall of Fame. You could do both at once. And Garfield is buried in Cleveland. And these extremely well-built, overbuilt mausoleums that both of them rest in was definitely built because they were assassinated. Their friends and families and associates wanted to honor them because they were assassinated. And these are incredible structures that are just absolute works of art.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
He ended up saying a line in his speech that was really kind of incredible. And I didn't really recognize it at the time. But later on, it became a real guiding force in my life.
Educator Russell Beckman shares why he feels the closest connection to President Richard Milhouse Nixon.
You're listening to WTMJ Conversations.
Welcome back to our conversation with educator Russell Beckman, who's visited all the presidential gravesites except for one. I'm your host, Libby Collins. What's the most interesting experience you've had when you've visited one of these gravesites?
I really had a connection with Richard Nixon when I went to his site in Yorba Linda, California. He's buried in the backyard of his childhood home, and he is now his presidential library museum there. And I had a connection to Nixon, and Nixon is somewhat despised by a lot of people. But I visited his gravesite, and I remember very well being 12 years old, watching him give a speech in August of 1974, where he resigned the presidency. And then the next day, when he said goodbye to his staff from the East Room of the White House, and he gave this speech, and I listened to it. As a 12-year-old, I was an absolute nerd when it came to current events. He ended up saying a line in his speech that was really kind of incredible. And I didn't really recognize it at the time. But later on, it became a real guiding force in my life, because everyone goes through dark times. And that's me, you. There's not a single person who goes through dark times. And his quote was, "Unless you've been in the deepest valley, you cannot appreciate the magnificence of the highest mountain." And those words really struck with me. And I was there with Richard Nixon, sitting at his grave. I literally thanked him with my imagination for sharing those words with me. And Richard Nixon, I mentioned before that he was despised. A lot of my students are despised because I basically work for the Green Bay Public School District, but I teach students at the Brown County Juvenile Detention Facility. A lot of people really could care less about my students, but I do. I see hope and potential in them, and I'm willing to cut them some slack and not hold what they did, their mistakes against them. I felt the same thing about Richard Nixon, that he needs to be judged on what is good about him, not just what mistakes he made. It helped me to become, my experience with Richard Nixon helped me to become a better teacher to my students, because I tell my students, unless you've suffered from despair, you can never fully appreciate joy. And I'm hoping that these words will stick with them as they realize that they're not doomed. They can still get beyond this dark part of their life and live a productive, happy life. And that's what I try to do as a teacher to inspire my students.
It's interesting that you said, as you sat at Nixon's grave, that you were almost communicating with him in a way. Yeah. Have you ever felt the actual presence of one of these presidents as you visited their gravesite?
Well,
I mean, in a spiritual way.
Yes, I have. And I don't want to sound like I'm weird and like I'm, but, you know, this is what cemeteries are for. You know, we need people, and I think I'm a deep thinker, and we need people to have deep thinking spiritual beliefs. And I feel like I've made a connection with many of these presidents, and they have enhanced my life. They've made me a better teacher. They've made me have greater perspective on things. And they've taught me that you have to finish what you start, that you have to always have something to look forward to. So, yes, it did shape who I am as a person, and who it shapes my teaching practice, because we have to model good behaviors for our students. And I think that every one of my students is at risk for not graduating for high school. And when you go to school and you graduate, whether it's from high school, a bachelor's program, a master's program, or a PhD, there's work that you have to do incrementally. You have to keep on pushing and keep on pushing. You just can't give up. You do it a little bit at a time. It's not something like going out and cutting the lawn where you cut the lawn and you're done with it. It's something you have to do. It's a lifestyle. So just like this journey to visit all the president's graves, I was determined to finish what I start, and I was able to do it. And I think that my students, you know, they all know what I did. They know about me. You know, kids know who their teachers are. And I decided I wanted to lead by example.
As you said, when you were at Nixon's grave, you felt a connection. Is there any grave you've ever visited where, when you've been there, you think, I don't think I would have liked this guy?
Oh, yeah, there's certainly people like that. Well, typically, they had tough jobs, and we're all people. They're humans just like us. In fact, you know, we all going to end up in the same place someday. These were the most powerful men in the world, and yet here they are. No one is with them anymore. They no longer have power. They're deceased. They are dust in the wind. So I attempt to understand that they, as people, make mistakes like all of us do. And the thing is, when you make a mistake, when you are knocked down, you have to get back up and keep on fighting. And that's the one thing that most presidents had. They had the capacity to get knocked down and keep on going and have the tenacity and the resilience to keep on pushing. Those are superpowers that everyone needs in order to live a happy and successful life. So it was just so much a matter of, I'm sure there's presidents, I don't want to say who they are, who I just couldn't stand to be with. All right. I don't want to say who those are because I don't want to go into politics.
What's the most neglected grave that you visited?
I don't think there was any grave that was neglected at all, because there's people who take care of these graves. So there's none that are neglected. Sometimes the aging of the structure influences, like President Garfield's mausoleum, which is very ornate and very beautiful. It's a classic reflection of the Gilded Age. The stone of his mausoleum is stained with soot. I suspect it must have been built downwind from a oil refinery or a steel mill. So not just his mausoleum, but every grave in that cemetery is covered with a blackened sheen. So if you want to call that neglect, you can call it neglect, but it's decades and decades and decades of pollution that caused that. But as for outright neglect that can be fixed, no, I've never seen that.
Still ahead on WTMJ Conversations.
I've been waiting a long time to do this, so I had to wait for him to pass away to take this trip.
Educator Russell Beckman tells us which presidential gravesite he still has on his list of places to visit.
Now, more of WTMJ Conversations.
I'm Libby Collins. Today's conversation is with Russell Beckman. He's an educator from Green Bay, and he's visited all the presidential gravesites except for one.
I don't believe there are any gravesites of presidents in Wisconsin, are there?
There is none. There's four that are reasonably close. In fact, it might be a nice road trip to visit these four. And those are the tombs of Hubert Hoover in West Branch, Iowa. Then you could go down to Springfield, Illinois and visit Abraham Lincoln. Then go to Indianapolis, Indiana and visit Benjamin Harrison's. His is just a grave in a cemetery. There's no museum there. And then if you want, then you could drive to Michigan, go to Grand Rapids and visit President Ford's museum and grave on the banks of the Grand River.
Are there any connections, though, to Wisconsin with any of these presidents?
I think President Bush won. George H.W. Bush, Bush 41. When I visited his grave, I did have a special connection with that. I remember I went there, I got there early in the morning, I got to walk by myself to his gravesite, which was really kind of cool. And President Bush, I thought about, some Milwaukeeans will know this, some Milwaukeeans won't, but on the day of the September 11th attacks, when his son was in Florida, President Bush 41 and his wife Barbara were flying on a commercial flight from Washington, D.C. to Minneapolis. The FAA ordered all flights to immediately land at the closest airport, so the Bushes landed in Milwaukee at Mitchell. Secret Service met him there, put him up in the Embassy Suites Hotel on Moreland Road in Brookfield. And they were there, and they decided they wanted to take a walk, so the Secret Service drove them to the Brookfield Hills Country Club, kind of across Moreland Road there. And just so happens that my father-in-law was golfing there. Him standing with a group of people as these big black Suburbans pull up. And out pops President Bush and his wife, Barbara. And this group of people talked to the Bushes. My father-in-law got an autograph from President Bush on a blank scorecard from that golf course. We got it framed. I got a written account from my father-in-law. It's one of my most prized possessions. And I thought about how President Bush, how rough of a day that must have been for him. Because not only was he president, but he wasn't president at the time, but his son was the president. When our children face challenges, we all are affected by that. And that must have been a terrible day. And he had this really unique connection to President Bush, number one or 41, and the September 11th attacks. And the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel wrote an article about it. So, and Barbara Bush talks about it in her memoirs. She talks about she couldn't understand why people would be golfing on September 11th, but it was a beautiful day and offices were closed and people do their own thing. So that was kind of cool to have to sit down with President Bush and kind of go over that.
We started the interview by talking about you visited all of the presidential grave sites except for one. So which one have you not yet visited, Russell?
I have not visited President Carter's grave in Plains, Georgia. And I tried. President Carter died last December, late December, and the press deadline for my article was in June, third week in June of this last summer. And President Carter's grave didn't open up right away. I actually sent an email to the chairman of the Carter Foundation, who was President Carter's grandson, wanting to special permission to visit his grave, and never heard back. But I wasn't able to visit his grave because it didn't open up until the middle of second week in July. But I have plans. I've been waiting a long time to do this trip, but I am going to go next June. I've already bought a plane ticket, reserved a car, flying to Atlanta, going to go to Plains, Georgia, visit his grave. And then from there, I'm going to go to Montgomery, Alabama, Selma, Alabama, Birmingham, Sumter, Mississippi, which is where Tallahatchie County is. I'm going to walk in the footsteps of Emmett Till. Little Rock, Arkansas, Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to go on the Southern Civil Rights Tour that I've wanted to go on for decades. But President Carter lived to be age 100. So I had to wait for him to pass away to take this trip. And I'm going to do it, and I also plan on eating a lot of good barbecue along the way.
Russell Beckman, you are an amazing man, and all I can say is safe travels.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to be on your show.
We've been talking with Green Bay educator Russell Beckman about his experiences visiting presidential gravesites. You can read about it in the White House History Quarterly. If you joined us late and you want to hear our entire conversation with Russell, go to WTMJ.com and share today's show with your friends and family. You'll also find a partial transcript courtesy of eCourt Reporters. For WTMJ Conversations, I'm Libby Collins. This is Libby Collins. Join us Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock for conversations with the most interesting people in southeastern Wisconsin.
Morgan had profound mental health needs that needed to be addressed very quickly.
The domes, the way they were, are not a modern conservatory.
I then grabbed my gun, I ran across the street, and I also started shooting.
That's very interesting because my sister and I have that all the time.
Your sister, I'll the queen.
WTMJ Conversations, Sunday mornings at 11 on WTMJ.